that Koshkost again, innit? Tottenham 2 and Arsenal 2, stupid cockline sliding through. Mahrez scores to keep Leicester sailing past another big tester. Meanwhile, City put 4 past Villa. Swansea win a relegation thriller. Also news from La Liga. Celta looking a bit beleaguered. Oh, also Serie A, where Roma win again to close the gap. Finally, there's MLS with TFC and all the rest, ending up with Moomoo of the Week. That's the Koshkost right on fleek. Hello and welcome to the Koshcast here on underthekoshblog.com. It is Pim's o'clock, most certainly, and to my right is Rishi Rana.
Capital, mate, yes. Sitting here watching a county cricket 3-day festival match between Surrey and Kent. How are you doing, Mohammed?
I'm good. I really can't do the accent, so I apologize, but that was great.
That's all right. We're just covering all the bases.
So what part of England is that from?
Just, you know. South.
The most
rich.
Imperialism.
It's rich.
It's just imperialism?
It's downtown rich.
Right. It's like the 1800s.
Yeah. Capital.
Nice.
Anyway, I should apologize for the intro. I was watching some Plan B videos earlier and I got a bit inspired.
Yeah. The minute Alex came with us saying, this intro is going to be a bit fast, we're like, yep, it's a wrap.
Yeah. It was definitely English, but not the England that I know. So
no.
I'm going to be surprised when we do our...
That's because you're from the Raj.
Yes. Well, speaking of England, we can get right into it. Starting in London, the capital.
Capital.
So there was a North London derby this weekend. One of the biggest ones in history. I guess the previous big one was the one where Arsenal won at White Hart Lane to win the league.
Yeah, that wasn't bad.
That wasn't bad. This one was touted as one of the biggest ones in recent history. And you can understand why. Leicester leading the table, Arsenal and Spurs in second and third. So this was quite an important game for both teams.
Yeah. I mean, but like in previous years, these North London derbies have tended to be about the race for fourth. And now it's about the race for the title or maybe second at this point.
Yeah, we'll see. So
that's why the stakes were higher for sure.
Definitely. And I mean, you could see before the game, there was a lot of pre-match trouble. You saw the pictures of the fans with the blood down their head, the police. The police did actually, according to local reports, they did a much better job than usual. But it was still quite intense.
I still think that, you know, given the nature of this fixture and how important it was for both clubs, I think that the fans really got a little extra about this.
I mean, the reason it didn't get this bad in recent years is Tottenham are usually further away. It's not a big deal. But now with Spurs ahead of Arsenal, this was crucial.
Well, definitely, the tables were turned. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I mean, this is the first time in a long time, I think, that Spurs have gone in objectively favourites for the game. Like, there have been other times where Spurs have been close.
Right.
Tottenham managers, VS Boas did it, Redknapp did it, saying, we've got a better squad now, we should beat them and stuff. It's never really turned out to be the case. But this time, Spurs were favourites. But also with the fans, there was also... Was it earlier this season or last season where Arsenal fans kind of defaced a bit of White Hart Lane?
Yeah, there's a lot of that.
So there's a bit more needle to it.
Pretty standard between the clubs, really.
Yeah.
But this fixture with Spurs on top going in, it played out pretty exciting in the end.
It was. I mean, to start off, Arsenal had a lot of changes in their lineup. Ospina was in goal for the injured Czech. I mean, typical. He got injured trying to run 50 yards up the field against Swansea.
One sprint and it's all over.
Yep. And then Gibbs started, which was... I mean, no one really knew about it until like the lineups came out. Monreal with a little niggle, which, you know, in Arsenal terms is 4 weeks, at least.
4 to 8.
A couple of injuries between fixtures for Arsenal going into this one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, even Oxlade-Chamberlain was injured.
Yeah, he was. He was out for a couple of games now. Ramsey played on the right because Elneny debutized in the North London derby, which is a bit crazy.
Well, it's something that we've been talking about from an Arsenal perspective, is that Ramsey and Coquelin as a central midfield partnership hasn't worked because there's not enough ball retention, there's not enough close dribbling, keeping it in tight areas and
there's
stuff.
There's not enough Cazorla, basically.
Yeah, exactly. And so Ramsey on the right is far more effective because he's much less of a liability. He can attack and have that freedom, but also he can make up the numbers elsewhere.
True. And as you guys said, Spurs were relative favourites and they did start as the favourites. The first 20 or so minutes, Spurs were dominating. They had possession. Arsenal were under the cosh, if I may. They looked quite good. They looked value for money. But slowly, as they didn't get their goal, then Arsenal started to really come back into the game.
Yeah, topsy-turvy. First 30 minutes one way, and then the traffic flow changes, the momentum changes, the goal happens. Yep. And then it's a different game. This game really opened up after the first goal.
I mean, it's funny how Ramsey scored with his back heel when up to that point, everyone was yelling at him to stop back heeling.
He does a lot of back heeling this time it came off. But it was a nice goal. Like Welbeck, I thought Welbeck was good.
Oh, fantastic. Like
leading the line, he gave the Spurs defence a lot more to worry about than Walcott would have done because he'd have been offside all the time. And Giroud would have done because he wouldn't have stretched them at all with no pace. And so I thought they actually... The Spurs defence looked worried about Welbeck.
Yes.
And on that goal, he, you know, won the ball, took it down the channel, held it up. Great ball for Bellerin. I'm not sure...
Terrible shot.
No. It was a pass. I'm not sure exactly where he intended to put it.
Most likely a hit and hope into a dangerous area. Luckily put away in the back heel.
I mean, Ramsey did well to improvise on short notice, to be honest.
Very short notice.
And Luis got a touch, but it was... I mean, no one expected that to come off. So Arsenal lead 1-0, and then from then on, going into the half, and then even at the start of the second half, it was all Arsenal. Arsenal looked in control. Arsene Wenger mentioned that in his post-match conference. So it was a shame when Coughlin got his second yellow.
That was stupid.
Yeah.
It was so stupid.
Both yellows were dumb.
To be honest, like, this weekend was full of yellows, second yellows, and red cards, and missed penalties, and, you know, this was just one of them.
Yeah.
But with the way the game was going, it's not surprising to see that there was a red card in this one.
Well, there easily could have been a couple more. Bellerin and Dier both should have got second yellows, really.
Right,
so. Yeah.
And then after Coughlin got the red in something like the 50-something minutes, so it's pretty much the whole second half, Arsenal playing with 10. Tottenham started to really put on the pressure, which is... It's good from a Spurs point of view because it's not always easy to kind of go up a gear when the other team gets a man down, but they did instantly, and I mean instantly.
Yeah, I think they found their flow because Tottenham are known to be a very physical, fast team this season, and Pochettino has been pushing his squad in terms of fitness. And so when Arsenal went down to 10 men, it was just a time for them to really kick on.
They also got so lucky. I mean, not lucky, but it was fortunate they got so many corners, which also helps with that idea of piling the pressure because it's corner after corner, and they eventually score from one.
I would also say against some teams, it's harder to play against 10. I wouldn't classify Arsenal as one of those teams. I mean, that's not to say they never practice going down to 10 men. Maybe they do. They probably should.
Well,
it happens a lot.
Like there's some famous fixtures where they've gone down to 10 men and not known what to do.
So. Well, this is the thing, is Arsenal don't get harder to beat with 10 men.
Yes.
They absolutely get easier to beat.
To be fair, they have a lot of practice every time Theo's playing. So, you know.
Please tell us about the excerpt you just read. Kolo Touré's trial.
Oh, right. Yeah. Yeah. The Kolo Touré trial was so funny. Speaking of red cards, when he first joined Arsenal on a trial, he came on. They said, all right, Kolo Touré, Martin Keown versus, you know,
Bergkamp
and Henry. They're like, all right, let's see how this goes. You know, Arsenal tried to go for a title here. And in practice, Kolo Touré absolutely clatters Henry. He's on the floor. Bergkamp gets the ball. He absolutely clatters Bergkamp. And Martin Keown, according to him, was like, well, here's our two best players. And he's just absolutely taking them out midway through the season. And then the ball somehow trickles to Arsene Wenger's feet as he watches
this. He makes
this.
A good tackle. The ball lands on Wenger's feet.
And then he comes up and does a second tackle, absolutely takes Wenger out. Wenger has an ice pack on his ankle. It's hilarious. And he goes into the dressing room and he's like, I don't think he meant that, boss. And boss is like, we're signing.
Yeah, Ray Parlour.
Yeah, I like his desire. Yeah. You know what? Arsenal have been lacking some desire in recent weeks.
Oh, the centre backs especially. I mean, you've got Per Mertesacker and Gabriel. Gabriel did not have the best of games.
He's funny because he came in last season. He really got off to a great start. He came into the side, and to be fair, it was a side that was winning a lot of games. Yep. But he looked really comfortable. And even at the start of this season, looked really comfortable. And we were saying that he actually looks a lot like Koscielny when he plays.
Mm.
And since then, and I think it's not just him, but the whole back, kind of centre-backs who looked imperious last season, have looked really shaky this season.
Sure, they have.
And Gabriel suffered from that. You can see his confidence as
definitely
well.
Definitely some confidence issues with the team. But, you know, credit to them. Tottenham came back in this after Arsenal down to 10 men. They got two goals, one of which was an excellent goal by Harry Kane.
Oh,
really lifted the lid off White Hart Lane.
Great assist by Mertesacker with the back heel, to be honest. So that was fantastic.
Dele Alli.
Yeah. Oh, was that? Well, yeah. Mertesacker let that happen. Yeah.
But then, you know, we just spoke about Arsenal's desire. They did come back to score and equalize with 10 men in this game.
To be honest, I did not see coming.
No.
Not at all. I mean, with Arsenal's form recently, and especially with Sanchez hasn't scored in like 13 games or whatever it is, he came up with the goal Bellerin with another assist. So Bellerin had a good game attacking-wise.
He kind of sort of came up with the goal. I mean, I feel like there's no way that should have gone in.
Lloris,
I'm not quite sure what
that
happened, really, but it, you know, bubbled into the ground.
Yeah. I mean, it was one of those that were really weak, but also just inside the post. So
yeah.
Yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, the point for both teams is not satisfactory. I mean, Spurs at the beginning of the game will be more happy with the point, but not after having Arsenal go down to 10, being 2-1 nil up. Yeah. I think they'll be disappointed with it, especially with their kind of their mentality this season is that they really want to win the whole thing.
I mean, Tottenham have had the best defense this season. They've been really good flying under the radar until this point. And being the favorites going into this game, I feel like they fully should have had 3 points, especially when Arsenal went down to 10 men. So I think they would be more disappointed of the two.
Yep, I think so too. And I mean, right now, there's still 3 points ahead of Arsenal.
Yeah.
But it's the Leicester that they're trying to catch. And we'll get to their game next. But really,
overall, how do you see Arsenal responding from this? Obviously, a good result given the nature of the game and the last couple of weeks.
It was a bit more fight and heart than we've seen recently. I mean, we've seen the Swansea and United games. Those were abject. Those were just I don't even know how to describe those. But this one was a bit better.
I thought the Swansea and United games were an absolute low point for the season, and so I'm not sure it could have got any worse than that. Really, I mean, I suppose losing to Spurs contextually might have been worse, but. I think the important thing from an Arsenal perspective is that Arsene Wenger found a new template. With Elneny coming into the midfield and doing really well next to Coquelin, it looked a lot more solid.
Yeah.
And then Ramsey back on the right looked a lot better and a lot more effective, and Welbeck leading the line up front. Those are quite significant changes into the way the team was set up. And so if that's a template going forward and it's working well, maybe that will suit them a bit better.
Yeah.
Right, so let's get to Leicester. Table toppers, Leicester.
Still.
Still. I mean, people are still trying to not give in to the notion that Leicester are going to win the league, it looks like they might.
Showing some really good form. Last two games, two scrappy 1-0 victories.
Which are very important.
Yes, very.
Watford away is never easy.
This fixture has some history in it as well.
Oh yeah, that Almunia kind of save last minute.
So Watford and Leicester played a championship playoff semi-final where Leicester were about to score a penalty, and it was the second leg of the penalty, and if they scored this, it was all but finished.
Yeah.
However, Almunia made a penalty save in the 90th minute, the ball goes down the field the other end, and Watford score, and all of a sudden, Watford are going through to the finals.
It's like in the 89th minute or something crazy.
It's in the 96th or 97th.
I think the celebration for the goal had the fans on the field, like the ref blew the whistle the minute. Yeah,
it was mayhem.
Yeah, it was great.
Absolutely incredible.
Yeah.
So Leicester's, like you said, a scrappy win, but they looked so solid during that scrappy win, defensively and in midfield. They never looked like they were going to concede.
Yeah. I'm going to be honest with you. This is one game this weekend I was looking forward to, and I was watching it live, and Danny Drinkwater... He's actually
fantastic.
A fantastic midfield player.
He is. Kante gets a lot of credit, sure, but they both together. I mean, these players, Mahrez, Vardy, Kante, Drinkwater, like the two center backs, Fuchs has had an unbelievable season too. Like, where is this coming from? I have no idea, but it's momentum.
To be honest, even last season when they were not doing so well, you could see that Leicester were all about that intricate passing and, you know, pass and move. Find the open space, and they were doing it really well in this game as well.
Yeah, they're just... I mean, Leicester right now are on course to win the league with like 41% possession overall over the season. So you don't need the ball to win games. Yes. You just need to score goals.
Jose would be proud if it wasn't Claudio Ranieri that was doing it.
But to be honest, even their defense was brilliant this game. Because
For the most part, there was that one chance for Igalo towards the end, and Igalo has had a lot of praise this season, but the last few weeks, it's actually been quite funny. He's missed so many chances, and all of them have been set up by Troy Deeney, who is getting gradually more and more exasperated. You can just see it on his face.
Yeah. That's true. But Mahrez's goal was fantastic. He took the touch. I thought he was going to shoot right away, but he took that touch to kind of trap the ball, brilliantly put it into the kind of top left.
Placed it.
Yeah, and then people are bringing up this point about the injury record of Leicester, saying, well, one, they're the team that used the least amount of players, 18 players all season. Kante gets a hamstring injury and is back next week. Mahrez pulled up with what looked like a hamstring injury midway through this game and then ran it off.
Yeah, Ranieri says he's actually fine, so who knows what was going on.
If in a few years we find out that this was a drug-inspired Leicester title win, it will be so funny.
I mean, they were in Thailand for preseason, so...
It's just all ginseng, bro.
Yeah. Yes,
it's all in the system still.
Claudio Ranieri, the grandfather of football, is feeding them something.
Yeah.
But you know what? To be honest, before this goal happened, the momentum was there. Leicester were probing, opening doors all over the place. After this goal happened, there were a couple of balls across that 6-yard box. It could have been 2-3, no problem.
I'm smiling because that last kind of bit that Richey said could have been a description of their off season. All right, let's move on to a quite exciting game. Everton-West Ham. Everton, the fans are split about Martinez. They're not... Yeah. I mean, first of all, they have the new takeover. The guy, I forgot his name, Persian dude who left Arsenal and is now 49%, 49.4%
yeah.
shareholder of Everton. So this is a new phase. Martinez was talking about it. He met the guy. He's happy. He has more money into the club. Now, the fans are not sure what to think of Martinez, because a game like this is perfect. Martinez goes 2-0 up. Great coach, we love him. And then West Ham come back and win 3-2.
Yeah, Everton can't defend a lead to save their absolute lives.
Yeah.
That said, there was a red card. So they're 1-0 up, then they get a red card, then they go 2-0 up.
Yeah.
And then they completely... like, as soon as the first goal went in, you just knew.
To be honest...
You absolutely knew they would lose it.
To be honest, John Stones' form doesn't help either. He looks quite bad right now.
He does.
Yeah, but I'm not quite sure what's going on with Martinez and Everton. It's a very up-and-down relationship. His first season at the club, they were playing some amazing football.
Spectacular.
Made Europe. And the second season, they kind of bottled it a little bit.
Yep.
And in this third season, they're very split. They're conceding a lot of goals. They are scoring a lot as well.
The attack looks fine. Yeah.
But then you have John Stones in defense, who's like tipped to be the next great English defender.
But I think you're right. I think it's very confusing, because you're right. First season, brilliant. Second season, terrible, because the squad wasn't big enough to cope with Europa League and the Premier League. Third season, you're like, right, this is the one where we get to find out. And they've just gone bang in the middle of the first and second season.
The biggest problem against Martinez, and the argument that's always made, is when you look at their squad, it's fantastic. You look at, especially the starting
lineup. The first 11, at
sure.
least, yeah.
But they play a lot of games. I mean, you're injured here and there, but, you know, Funes Mori has come in. You've got Lennon, who's a great, really good signing, it looks like, right now. And he's come in. De La Feo came back again after he left from his loan. So they do have some options off the bench. And you've got Lukaku, who's on unbelievable form. That first goal he scored, that is a striker's goal.
Well,
that was fantastic.
He completely muscled the defender aside.
Speed, strength, finish.
But you know what? This leads me to another point about Everton. You know, I always associate Roberto Martinez with his old Wigan side.
Mm.
Sure.
Who could not defend and had a, you know, very mediocre attack.
Right.
Now, I think he's got more or less the same kind of qualities going on into his Everton side, except they have a fantastic attack. So I don't think
which saves him a little bit.
Yeah, so I think he's just lucky to get a good attack, but he has the same defense.
Two things about the new ownership. One is Roberto Martinez is saying it's a very exciting time, more money, yada, yada. I'm a little bit worried for him because...
Yeah, more money means
better
coach. It
might just mean he leaves. It's simple as that. The other thing is, take all that money... Invest a good deal of it in trying desperately to renew Lukaku's contract, or you're done.
Oh,
like,
oh,
you're just done.
Definitely,
if
definitely.
They lose Stones and Lukaku in the summer, like, the rebuilding job is unreal.
If they lose him, maybe David Moyes will be tipped to come back.
Why not? Quickly on West Ham before we move on from this game. They are having a brilliant season. Bilic is absolutely killing it. Payet scoring the winner. And to be fair, Bilic also makes really good substitutions. At halftime, he brought in Andy Carroll. Went a bit longer, and that kind of knockdown from Carroll is what caused the third goal. So he knows what he's doing.
He does. More than I thought. I mean, he was good. He was a good manager with Croatia,
yeah.
and they did really well for a few years. But then he kind of went off, did Venerbahce for a bit, was all right.
Mm.
And when he took over West Ham, I was...
Besiktas.
Was it Besiktas?
Yeah.
Apologies. But then I was a bit skeptical,
yeah,
I have
same,
to say. I didn't
same.
See him as an improvement on Allardyce. And to be honest, I think it's still too early to say that he is because it's one season.
Yeah.
But they've done exceptionally well
to
keep picking up these points.
We thought the same about Ranieri. Both Ranieri and Bilic. And now they're both in the running for manager of the season with Pochettino. So, Antonio.
Oh, what a sign.
Where did he come from?
Nottingham Forest.
No. Not literally. Just like, he just emerged and just started scoring game after game after game. It's... looking really good.
You know what,
good.
When a player's on form, that's what happens.
Yep.
Yeah. 3 points for West Ham, good for them.
Great 3 points, they're so close to the top.
We had a discussion this week where you were talking about, you know, who's going to be manager of the season. I think there's three candidates.
Yep.
One is going to be Slaven Bilic.
Mm-hmm.
The other one is going to be Pochettino.
Yep.
And then the third, and probably the favorite, is going to be Claudio Ranieri.
And then with an outside shot for LVG.
Very outside shot.
If United win the league somehow from this position...
Sure.
I think that he would be a candidate. But you know what? I'm going to give it to Ranieri despite everything. Because Leicester, 29 games, 5 points ahead.
Yeah.
How can you argue with that?
Well, if they lose the last, you know, eight. just one thing on Pochettino and Bilic. West Ham played Tottenham in midweek, was it?
Yeah.
And seeing them side by side was really funny. Because in Pochettino, you've got like the healthiest looking manager around. And Bilic just looks like he's seconds away from dying.
Well,
constantly.
Pochettino just looks like he's never under stress. He's never stressed out.
No.
He's like chill.
But
like,
he also looks 25.
Sure. He went 1-0 down to Arsenal. And he was just like chilling.
Yeah.
Like he was fine. Don't worry. We got this. And Bilic is like angry and nervous all the time.
Yeah.
Anyways, moving on. City beat Villa 4-0. This was if anything, a game of two halves. First half, nothing happening. Absolutely nothing. And then second half, City decided to win 4-0 in 45 minutes.
But, to be fair, every time City play Villa at home at the Etihad, I feel like I've seen the scoreline before.
Yep.
I feel like every time City Villa, it's always 4-0, 6-1.
Anyone Villa at this point.
Something, yeah. I mean, no surprises here, really.
Yeah, and then Toure scoring, Aguero 2 goals, and Sterling was the last one. Sterling's had the torrid few weeks, so it's good for him to get on the scoring sheet. Silva with 2 assists.
The little link-up play, I think, was it on both goals even, with Aguero and Silva? It was really nice.
The one I remember was the third goal.
That with the volley.
The near post finish.
Silva's ball back to Aguero.
There are some interesting stats between Silva and Aguero, how many times they've assisted each other.
Yep.
I can't recall the exact stat, but it's been a lot.
In what sense?
Like the best duos. They've got Mahrez, Vardy, who give each other assists and goals. Then you've got Ozil, Giroud, and Silva, Aguero, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Messi. So yeah, nothing really of note here except that City finally kind of put in a better performance. They've looked a bit shaky.
Yeah, two times Liverpool in the last couple of weeks. They won the cup final on penalties. You know, they missed a lot of chances. You know, whatever. They completely got thrashed by Liverpool the next game in the league, 3-0.
Yeah.
And they did not look good. Now, you know, 4-0 against Villa, regulation win. Maybe they got their confidence back.
Yeah. Sure. I don't think you can really read into anything related to Aston Villa. They're just so bad. They're so bad.
They are so bad. Stoke, Chelsea.
Good game.
Yeah, I mean, what's his name? What's your coach now? Forgot his coach. Goose. Yeah, Goose hitting. He hasn't lost yet. I mean, they would have rather the win because they were 1-0 up. They look good for it at that point, and Bertrand replaced Costa at top. I think Costa's injured or something.
Bertrand's been really good when he's come in this season.
Yeah, he has.
Really good.
Yeah.
He plays, he scores almost.
Yeah, yeah. He looks like an Iheanacho, left foot.
What
kinda.
A goal that
yeah.
was.
That was a really good goal, yeah. Opening this game up, yeah.
And then Stoke came back, Diouf scoring the equalizer. At the end, I mean, Courtois had some fantastic saves all game. All game he's done well, and then that one cross that comes in, and he just doesn't get the power or distance on it, and it lands right to Diouf's head.
Yeah, I actually really respected Diouf's celebration here, or non-celebration, because he'd missed a few chances, and so he nodded that in and he just kind of stood there.
Yeah, he's like, okay. Yeah,
I should have done that.
Yeah, Hazard started this game.
Did he?
Didn't, yeah, I know, just invisible, didn't do much. Again, his form is... I mean, Chelsea aren't playing bad as a team anymore, so there's no more excuses as like, kind of, oh, well, the team isn't performing.
Yeah.
They are performing now.
They are, yeah, they haven't lost. They've been drawing a lot of games, to be fair. I don't know where they're going to finish. Most likely, like, 8th place or thereabouts. But Hazard's form has been terrible. He's come out with a statement this week saying, you know, I really want to play for Chelsea. I care about the badge, etc., etc. I don't think he's going to stay.
Yeah, I mean, it really depends on the money that comes in.
Or if anything comes in at all.
It's hard to keep this player at Chelsea if they're not going to make a European competition. And I don't think he wants to play in the Europa League. Let's be real.
Sure. I'm just questioning whether anyone's going to come in with a bid... big enough fit.
Right.
Like, after this kind of season, someone might come in and try and get him on the cheap. Like, why would you come in with 60 million for Hazard after this season?
Because Perez, that's what he does.
Well, maybe. Yeah. Is Hazard good-looking enough to play for Real Madrid?
You know what? They're going to ship out Isco, maybe, to Chelsea and swap him for Hazard.
Yeah, you never know.
Could be a deal.
Cool. It's like freight.
Put in a box.
Yeah. Crystal Palace, we've got Istanbul here against Liverpool again. The neutrals love this fixture just to remind Liverpool of, you know, what happened this season. So Crystal Palace, in normal circumstances, took the lead 1-0. And then, I mean, Ledley scoring, obviously.
But yeah, but by normal circumstances, you mean a centre-back scored a goal.
And also that Crystal Palace always give Liverpool a torrid time.
Sure.
Yeah. And then Liverpool scored from Firmino. Where he was just given the ball. He was literally given the ball by McCarthy. McCarthy tried to clear it. He was given it. And Firmino said, okay. And was put
fine.
So fine.
1-1 at that point?
Yeah.
And I was like, you know, I'm quite good, right? Like, I'll deal with this.
Yeah, exactly. And then Milner got a red card. Which, I mean, to be fair, I didn't see the game live. So I asked one of our followers, Omar... because he's a hardcore Liverpool fan. And, you know, he took one for the team because no one wants to see a Liverpool game.
Thank you, Omar.
Yeah. So he gave us a bit of a rundown from that point forward. And his assessment was that Milner's yellow was very avoidable. I mean, probably similar to Coquelin.
Running theme.
Exactly.
Not the first red this weekend. I think we're covering... this is the third one.
Yes,
we've been on.
At least. And then he said from then on that 10-man Liverpool played quite... a good game. They were hungry for it. Emre Can, according to him, was man of the match, clearly, which I can believe. I love Emre Can.
He's been playing well. Yeah.
He is. Lovren played well. I mean, they were just pushing hard for that win. And then at the end of the game, Crystal Palace were really going for it. And I don't remember who took a shot from like the halfway line. And then it just ricocheted off someone in Liverpool on the counter. Benteke gets his penalty. It was set to be a dive. And then you kind of really zoom in CSI style. And you go, well, his knee kind of nicked his heel. It was one of those.
Whatever.
Zoom in. And then Benteke scored it. So I would have loved it if he had missed just because of
Benteke. It would have been very funny.
Yeah.
Narrative.
Yeah.
So 3 points for Liverpool. Beating City, beating Crystal Palace.
Yeah, not bad. I mean, at the end of the day, they're playing well. And we'll get to them in Mumu of the Week for their squad. But
yeah.
Klopp will, you know,
he'll
get some signings.
There's a lot of confidence going into the upcoming Europa League fixtures.
I was
going to
say, given Liverpool's current league form, how far do you think they will get in next year's Europa League?
Are we assuming they're making it into the Europa League?
Well, yeah. I mean, not even Europa League?
Well,
that would be...
That would be failure.
You have West Ham fighting for that spot as well.
You've got West... Yeah, true. You've got United.
It's Southampton offer.
Coagulated. Man United are also there as well.
It's a Premier League coagulation, is it?
Yeah.
Nice.
All these teams are just clotting that fifth place spot.
Clotting. I don't think we've ever used that word.
It's been two seasons.
We can cross it off the list. Jurgen Klopp.
I think that's it for analysis. Let's just go really quickly through the scores. Just general scores. Southampton, Sunderland. I think Sunderland, I mean, Defoe scoring the opener in the 85th minute. And at that point, you think, come on, hold on. These are really important 3 points.
Yeah.
But they don't.
Allardyce was like trying to get his team to stop celebrating. Because he's like, just get back and defend, you bunch of absolute idiots.
Yeah, and then they do concede to Van Dijk. A great finish. Swansea, again with 3 points. Norwich are, I mean, at this point, in free fall.
Yeah.
They can barely string two passes together. I don't know what's going on there. But Swansea have gotten... I mean, they drew to Spurs, beat Arsenal, and now beat Norwich. They got 6 points in a week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Sigurdsson keeping everyone on their toes, because as a fantasy Premier League player, usually you get Sigurdsson first few months of the season and he kills it.
Yes.
This season he did nothing and then he's ending the season on fire.
That's exactly my equation for fantasy Premier League.
Better to end hot than start hot.
Sure.
And fade.
Sure, I mean, Leicester will tell you from last season.
Oh my God, Leicester City. Yeah.
Bournemouth beat Newcastle at St. James's Park.
Big win.
3-1.
Big win for Bournemouth.
Like, Newcastle, like, I always thought, yeah, don't worry about it. They'll be fine eventually. Yeah. But it's at this point where they're really in the thick of it.
Oh, the bottom three, you can't really foresee them winning games. They're not scoring goals. And people are complaining that they don't have the strikers to do it. And I actually really disagree. I think, you know, Jose, Mitrovic and Cissé, you've got people that can score goals there. Especially
Wijnaldum either. Attacking midfielder.
He chips in with a lot. Yeah, that's a good point. So I don't think that's really the issue, even though they aren't scoring enough goals. I'm not sure what McLaren is doing right or wrong here, really. It's
unfair to say maybe all of this is on McLaren's head. Maybe he is a bad manager. Who knows? But
we know.
I think this is Newcastle we're talking about. There's a lot going on behind the scenes that we don't know
about. You're right. So rumors are McLaren might get the sack soon. John Cover would come in again.
If he hasn't already.
And then maybe Moyes. Like, there's all these rumors now around it. And to be fair, I don't see them keeping McLaren for long.
They kind of have to sack
him.
There isn't enough time left. He has to go. Even if it's not really his fault, something has to change.
Yeah.
And that's the only thing that can change.
Yeah.
The only thing is, don't bring John Carver in. That's not going to make it better.
That's not going to make it better. Last but not least, United are playing right now. And it's still 0-0 at the end of the first half. But Juan Mata got two yellows again to keep up with the theme of this week in 3 minutes.
He's off.
Goodness.
He's off. 24th minute, 27th minute. I don't know what happened. I just can see it.
So. All right. So here we go with another red card this weekend.
Yeah.
There might even be a missed penalty in this game. You know,
yes.
There have been so many missed penalties this weekend.
Do you think when a referee holds up a red card to a Spaniard, they like charge at it?
Well done.
That's probably what happened. Took him 3 minutes to hunt him down.
He is quite slow, man.
Yeah,
isn't
the linesman just throws a spear into him.
He's got flags to get his back.
Yeah.
All right, we do not condone animal cruelty in any way, though.
Yeah.
100%.
Now moving on to Moomoo of the Week.
Yes.
Moomoo
of the Week.
All right,
Moomoo of the Week, my favorite time of the week. And we start with something that is absolutely brilliant. So, Anderson Conceição, who is now at Philadelphia Union, of all places, played for Mallorca. And in the 2012-13 season, he said his manager did something quite extraordinary to try and motivate his players. The manager, Joaquin Caparrós, wanted his players to play with a bit more intensity against Athletic Bilbao. And so he showed them pawn in the team talk before the match.
This might be inspired by Louis van Gaal's recent
the other way around
display comments.
Yeah, well, van Gaal's also shown his balls to his players before.
That's true. Well, do you think he got on the ground in that same position?
Maybe. Yeah. So
what kind of porn did he show his players? Did it involve him?
It doesn't say, but well, hopefully not. But Conceição says somewhat naively. In the team talk ahead of the game, Caparrós showed us a video with images from a porn film. We were shocked. We didn't understand anything of what we were watching. So either it was quite, you know, out there porn, or these guys are just totally naive.
And what do they do?
Yeah. And the coach wanted to raise our spirits, but we didn't get his idea. He told us that our tension in the game had to be same as the porn actor.
So he wanted them to watch porn before the games to kind of get them amped up.
Yes. Yeah.
This one particular game in specific.
So reports say that the team did improve, but still lost 1-0.
Nice. Nice. Well done.
To be honest, when you're trying to engage your squad, I mean, these are the methods you have to employ. Obtuse tactics.
Have to is...
Have to is stretching.
I mean, he
it.
Did get a bit creative here.
Yeah.
Give
I mean, they still lost,
that,
so...
They must have been really bad.
They were bad.
Anyway, our second moo-moo of the week this week is, on a more serious note, the Fenway Sports Group, who acquired Liverpool in 2010... when they outbid the Tom Hicks and George Gillette duo.
Well, didn't didn't they actively want to sell it though?
Actually, Tom Hicks and George Gillette were trying to buy the club as well. And the Fenway Sports Group came in and the Liverpool fans wanted them out. Wanted Tom Hicks and Gillette out because
they already owned it.
They owned it, yes.
Yeah,
but the takeover kind of kicked those two out.
Yes. Yeah, yeah.
And the Liverpool fans were really happy about that. Now the Fenway Sports Group has come out with a statement saying they really underestimated how poor the squad was.
What?
Before making their £295 million bid takeover.
Oh, that's amazing.
I mean, they were aware that they had players like Fernando Torres and Pepe Reina, but they just weren't aware of how bad Torres was at the time and that Reina was not going to be back to his prime. These are some statements made by the Fenway Sports Group. So they did not know.
That is outstanding.
To be honest, when you make a 295 million takeover,
you should probably check,
do some due diligence, anything.
I mean, and to quote them, they said, "We underestimated how difficult it was going to be to stabilize the asset."
Nice. That is very, very, very business talk to just say we didn't do our job.
Yeah. Also, wasn't the first thing that they did sanction the purchase of Fabio Barini?
How
is that helping?
But there's more to this. They said, you know, we had a few top players like Steven Gerrard, other players like Torres, Reina were probably beyond their primes, and Javier Mascherano was not even on the team. So first of all, right there with the Javier Mascherano statement, if he wasn't on the team, why is he even in your statement?
Look, the point is this. They sound like a fan that doesn't watch every game. They just know the names of the big players. We've got Gerrard and Torres. They're
but
great.
We had Mascherano last season.
Yes. And somehow Robbie Fowler and Ian Rush didn't make it in there either.
Yeah.
Well,
where's Lagod?
They sold the history of that club really well.
Anyway, it's fantastic stuff. All right, moving on to La Liga. So we've got... I mean, La Liga we talked about a couple of weeks back, and it looks like Barcelona are running away with it. But this is... Yeah, it does.
Okay.
But it's
really?
Simple.
You just noticed that now?
Yeah, like a week ago. They have a pretty good guy called Messi.
Love that.
So Madrid, though, starting there, beat Celta... I mean, Celta Vigo were supposed to be up there. They're playing a great season. Nolito was killing it. Everyone wanted them. Blah, 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 blah. And they beat him 7-1.
Yep.
We just had an article saying which league is a better league. Premier League or La Liga, and I think one of the points we made was we hate how these teams get thrashed.
Yeah, it's really annoying, especially because you watch the highlights of some of these games and you see it's like 0-0 or 1-1 and, you know, 30 minutes have gone or something. And then 20 minutes later, the goal difference is 5. It's nuts.
To be fair, we saw this in the Premier League a few seasons ago. You know, there have been some 7-1s here and there. Chelsea used to beat up on Aston Villa.
Right.
Surprise, surprise. Like 8-0, like seasons back.
But it was one of those where it was like, oh wow, didn't see that coming, but like really?
But I mean, with the La Liga, this happens almost every 2 or 3 weeks. Real Madrid decide that this is the week that they're going to score goals. Ronaldo decides that this is the week he's going to turn
Ronaldo,
and shoot for 40 yards and score.
Ronaldo absolutely dominated this game on his own. He started up front without any of the kind of the regulars, that Benzema, Bale, none of those guys.
Bale coming back in the team, though.
Yes, so Bale came back at the end of the game, but Ronaldo just took this game with a scruff of the neck, and he dominated the 40-yard bullet into the top right corner, free kick, fantastic stuff.
Two amazing goals. Really.
Yeah.
And he's done really well. And he looked happy, dare I say. He was, I mean,
I don't know.
Again, we
once
almost
he
say at three or four, he's happy with other players scoring. Bale did get one back in the team
a
now.
A good goal,
after
good finish,
yeah.
I liked Hesse's goal too, because A, it was straight from the kickoff, which is always fun.
Yeah.
But B, he could, the easier thing for him to do would have been to just pass to Ronaldo and give in to that. But you could kind of tell he was like, no, you've had your fun.
Yeah.
I'm having my goal now.
Exactly. Pepe scoring one as well.
The opening goal,
the opening with a header. Diego Aspas.
Yeah.
His goal was quite nice.
It was lovely.
I was like expecting that curler finish into the far, but he really dinked Navas there.
Oh yeah, brilliant finish. But the one thing that's interesting about this goal is the fact that it was a long ball from defense.
It was nothing. It was nothing. Yeah.
Madrid's defensive line was inside the halfway circle.
Yeah.
So, you know what? We talk about how Spain has more tactics to their game, but you know what? Here's a long ball goal for you.
Well, that happens when it's 3-0.
They're killing it. Of course they're on the halfway line because they haven't lost the ball.
I mean, Sergio Ramos wants to score a goal by this point. He doesn't even care about defending anymore. But yeah, so Madrid get their 3 points, which is what happens when you score 7 goals usually. Yeah, Barcelona beat Eibar 4-0 away. Messi with 2 goals. Messi scoring a hat-trick the week before.
I think they also had 5-1 on Thursday.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that's when Messi scored a hat-trick as well. So he's having his best season in terms of a calendar year start ever.
Okay.
Which is weird to think. Like, I'm sure you'd always think Messi's prime back a couple of years ago, 3-4 years ago or whatever. But now he's actually putting up the stats. So
yeah. Well, it's also in context, right? Like, there are times where it was a bit more all on his shoulders in terms of the attacking three, whereas now...
When he had Villa and Pedro, it was all him. Yeah.
I think he was briefly out of the squad earlier in the season as well.
Yeah,
so,
he was injured, yeah.
Yeah, so now I think he's starting to grow into that.
Yeah, Munir came in for the suspended Neymar, who is in Brazil, celebrating his sister's birthday.
Ah.
Yeah, she's 20.
That must be nice.
She's going out with one of the Brazilian guy, like Brazilian soccer players. That Neymar knows. I don't know who.
Like on the national team?
Yeah, yeah.
Who?
I don't remember their name.
Hopefully it's not David Luiz.
Why? He seems like a lovely bloke.
I have a thing against David Luiz.
Sure, I don't.
You know what I quite like about David Luiz though?
What?
I heard an interview with him recently and he was talking about how he doesn't have kids, but he wants tons of kids. But he was like, but I really want to focus on my football and I know the second I have a kid, football will come second. Because I love my kids so much, so I'm gonna wait, finish my career, and then have kids. I thought that was quite interesting.
Yeah, have a kid at 33, whatever.
Yeah,
good for him.
Yeah,
yeah, well done. Valencia are playing Atletico later on in the day.
That should be fun.
Should be a good game because Gary Neville has been getting the results recently.
Some results.
Yeah,
they had a bit of a win streak going on, and then they got absolutely crushed 3-1, and then they won again.
Yes.
So good for him. Yeah.
Yeah. Better than before. Improvement is all we're looking for.
I recently saw a video of Gary Neville versus the other manager. Not sure what his name was.
Yeah.
It was like a touchline video, and Neville was absolutely extremely animated. It was unbelievable to see. He's almost Spanish in his actions.
Yeah, I didn't think he would be that kind of manager, but I think the results really forced him into that.
Yes. There are some. I actually spent a few minutes the other day, this is slightly embarrassing, but I was just YouTubing like Gary Neville.
It's okay, Alex. I YouTube all of this all the time. What do you mean it's embarrassing?
Well, you know.
Yeah. More embarrassing now.
Here's a red card for Alex.
Anyway, so it's like, it's this video and it's Neville on the touchline and there's a Spanish narration,
right?
And I didn't know really what they were saying, but then there's captions translating what Neville is saying, and it's just like, fuck off,
yeah, that's
absolutely
so
full out, full lung bursts,
yeah.
But his players don't know what he's saying.
Well, they are like, to be fair, the Nevilles are working very hard in their Spanish, it's quite impressive.
Yeah, Phil Neville needed to work on his Spanish after that terrible tweet,
needed to work on everything, really.
Right? Cool, that's La Liga. Serie A, really quick. The Egyptians are killing it for Roma. I am having so much fun watching that. They're best of friends. They're playing on both wings. They're helping each other, assists, goals. They do the whole pyramid sign after games. I'm like just ecstatic.
You know what they should be called, right?
What?
El Salari.
El Salari.
No.
El Salari.
Sure. But I think Sarawi already has a nickname, which is the Pharaoh. And Mohamed Salah doesn't have one yet.
What's he going to be? The Sphinx?
The Sphinx. Or Nefertiti. Anyway, so they did beat Fiorentina, who are a very good team. They beat him 4-1.
Game was an anomaly because you saw Chesney doing like an outstanding move to juke the attacker.
He's actually back in form, Ches.
Yeah, but that's the thing with him. He goes up and down in form, which is not what you want in a keeper. Totti did sub on, though. So it seems everything's fine. Yeah. Again. So, you know, that's the main thing. It doesn't matter that they won 4-1. They just care about how Totti's feeling.
Won six in a row. Like, how's Totti feeling?
Fiorentina are definitely dipping in confidence a little bit over the last couple of weeks after being crushed by Tottenham Hotspur.
Well, it was interesting because they were, as I said a couple of weeks ago, they were resting players in Serie A in order to be strong in Europa League. And so they kind of put a lot of eggs in that basket. And once that's done, you tend to see a drop-off.
Yes,
yeah,
true.
Yeah.
Napoli beat Verona 3-1. Higuain back finally on the score sheet.
Yeah.
Lovely and,
finish.
And Vlad Cherkic, or however you say it.
Yes.
Whatever.
Take me to Cherkic.
Yeah. Okay, anyways. So, Alex, he had a moment.
He had a lovely peak Cherkic moment. I don't know if you remember. He didn't play that much for Spurs, but when he did, he was absolutely horrendous. And so he had this moment where he had the ball. Him and the other centre-back, Koulibaly, are passing it amongst themselves. There's not really much pressure. One forward is closing down between them. And Cherkic has it. He rolls it one way. Should really have made the pass. The striker gets a bit closer to him. He tries to roll it back across himself.
Again.
Like an unbelievably bad decision. David Luiz-esque. And and the striker just nips in and hammers it into the corner.
Yeah.
It was... And Cherkic made up for it later by scoring a very good header, but it was so perfect.
It was a Vlad moment.
He knew
it was coming. So Juve also, I think, won. They're playing right now, or it just ended. Juve should be 3 points ahead of Napoli right now.
Yeah.
Napoli are 5 points ahead of Roma. So that fight for third place is heating up.
Juve
did win 2-0.
Speaking of Juve, we did leave out an incident that happened with Marchisio in midweek. A statement that was made. This should be added to the Moo Moo segment, but after their cup loss to Inter 3-0 in the second leg.
And then won on penalties.
They won on penalty, yes. Marchisio was talking about the referee. He was injured, obviously, so he wasn't in the stadium, but he was watching on TV. He said, the commentator is blind. You know, it was a questionable foul or something.
Right.
The commentator is blind, and then he tweeted that, and the blind community got very offended by this, and he had to apologize.
Yeah, I like that that's where they draw the line. It's when you offend blind people, not when you're racist, not when you're homophobic. No. That all slides. But don't you dare bring blind people into this.
Blind people are one of the biggest components of people who watch soccer in Italy.
Yeah, they're called referees.
People who watch soccer?
That was a pun.
No, it wasn't.
I mean, a play on words.
Sure.
Was it a play on words? Kind of? No?
We'll give it
blind
to
people are watching soccer.
We get it.
Okay, I'm not using the right word to describe it, I think.
It's okay. It's
either
fine.
Way, your point about culturally what is acceptable and
what
is very true.
Yeah,
we'll
exactly.
find out when we go soon.
Yeah?
Yeah, I can't wait for that. Roma should be in a crazy third place fight, and I really want to, like, kind of, Egyptians and stuff. Can't wait. Anyways,
Mark should get us arrested within 24 hours.
Yeah. 24? Wow, you're giving me a lot of time. All right, last but not least, let me restart the sentence.
Yes, please.
And learn, see, it's
least,
all about the growth.
Least but not last.
Yeah, least but sure.
No, last but not least.
Okay, last but not least, MLS is starting today.
Yes.
First weekend of the season.
Major League Soccer.
Major League Soccer. And there are a lot of really exciting games. First of all, BMO Field, which is the TFC stadium, is getting two roofs now. So
yes.
It's going to be completely covered.
Yes. You thought one roof was enough.
Oh,
you were wrong.
They are stepping up.
In the theme with the roof on the Rogers Center, which is the major baseball stadium.
Yeah.
You know what? I'm fully supportive of this, but they have also added a second tier to their stadium.
Yeah.
So it just goes to show the demand for tickets and the fanship.
Absolutely. No, it's great.
Alex, tell us some of the big names this week. I think TFC are playing, what, New York?
Well, I told you what they were, and you wrote them down, and you've got the piece of paper.
All right.
You got Columbus.
Here's the piece of paper.
Thank you.
Yep.
It says boom.
Boom, as in it started.
Right, yes, we're off. Toronto FC against New York Red Bulls.
Mm.
So that's in New York. TFC are actually going to have all away games, I think, for the first 7 weeks or so
because of the stadium
renovation.
They do this every season.
Yes. It's quite good, though, because no games in the cold.
Yeah.
If they get 3 wins out of these 7 matches, they'll be on
which,
the course.
Which, to be fair, is counterproductive for having the roof. I mean, it's not going to be raining anymore, is it?
Well, maybe. Anyway, that's going to be a great game. You've got Portland against Columbus, two teams from the playoffs last season, two of the best teams in MLS. Vancouver against Montreal for a Canada cross-continent derby. So that's exciting. And then Chicago Fire against NYC FC.
FC.
Can the oldest midfield in the world do anything?
Lampard, Pirlo, and Villa still.
I mean, Vieira might as well play as well.
He might as well play.
Yeah.
I'm excited to see how he does.
This will be very interesting.
I'm actually legitimately excited for this MLS season.
You know what? I'm there too.
Yeah.
I'm actually there too. We're going to try and bring you as many recaps and highlights as possible every pod. And, you know, hopefully TFC can do as well as last season.
They should at least get to the playoffs.
Hopefully better.
I mean, getting to the playoffs now is really... It's not enough for TFC. Yeah.
Well, they've done it once. And now you kind of get, they've got to get to like a semi-finals.
It all depends on Giovinco's performance, really.
But that's exactly the thing that they need to avoid this season, is having being so reliant on Giovinco.
Well, sure, I was going to say, like, I mean, I understand your point about it's all on Giovinco, sure, but I think it's all on, like, Altidore. Like, not like that fact, just if he plays well and adds to that, then it's a huge difference to the team as a whole.
If the defense shows up.
Also, yeah, let's hope they can defend a little.
Yeah.
That would be good.
That would be great.
Yeah.
Well, here's hoping.
Thank you for downloading the KoshCast. Get in touch at underthekoshblog@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter at under_thekosh. And for articles, predictions, and the full experience, go to underthekoshblog.com.